Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. Good learning show for Monday today. How much do you know about type 1 diabetes or type 2 diabetes? The number of diagnoses for diabetes, especially type 1, it's growing. Type 2 as well. And living with diabetes. I don't know if you have family members, friends. I think a lot of us do. It can be tough, right? Especially for kids in Montana. There's a place that everyone kind of understands when you're all together and you're at camp here. There are experiences doing that really can move you forward. We'll talk about that today. We have a couple of camp counselors who will be joining us, and Tanya Furman with the Montana Youth Diabetes Alliance. We talked about this organization. Some of the funding dried up years ago for diabetes. And Tanya and a group of parents and dedicated people, you know, just started walking it out, and they've got this camp. And now it has become such a huge thing. We'll talk about that today on Voices of Montana. We kind of walk this out just like Tanya Furman did years ago. And now she's the executive director of this organization that she founded, the Montana Youth Diabetes Alliance. And good morning, Tanya. Thanks for coming on here. So impressed. You know, I talked with Sydney Bennett, a former camper, now a counselor, second-year law student, University of Montana. She'll be joining us in a bit. Robert Stimson as well, former camper, now counselor. He's a student at the University of Chicago. And one of the things that they said was how vital the camp experience was for them. You know, I really appreciate you being here. Good morning. Let's just talk. Let's go right into that about what gets accomplished there and your experiences and how these kids have experienced better lives because of it.
Absolutely. And good morning to you, Tom. So, yeah, our mission is enriching the lives of type 1 or youth with type 1 diabetes and their families, creating independence, perseverance, respect, while offering that fun, safe, and educational opportunity. So, in addition, we also provide financial assistance for out-of-pocket expenses associated with self-management supplies and numerous networking resources to navigate those diabetes-related support systems. So we're not just camp. We're a lot more than just camp, mm-hmm. but camp is the life-changing experience that they come to between the ages of 8 and 17. To meet other fellow type ones and, you know, learn that they're not alone.
And it was that camping experience, that bonding experience that you wanted to recreate a couple of years ago. Go back to that. Talk about how you have walked out this process along with a lot of people who, you know, come alongside you in that regard.
Absolutely. So I have been a type 1 diabetic for 31 years. I am still very close friends with kids I went to camp with originally when I was 9 years old. And that's a lifelong friendship. Actually, my very best friend is on my board. So she's incredibly committed and dedicated to MIDA. And we just know that in our experience of making those lifelong friendships and knowing the difference that it makes, that it's worth it.
When let's tell that story about when the funding disappeared or where it was redirected by some national organizations for those kinds of camp experiences that you were so fond of, and how you decided that, you know, Montana is going to have a camp. I think I really want to get to that because there's a lot of credit, I think, to you and the people who have gotten to this point.
Absolutely. So the American Diabetes Association did an amazing job putting on camps for many, many, many years throughout the state of Montana, as well as family retreats. And when COVID hit, that funding just wasn't there, and they weren't able to provide camp directors. So with families and campers calling me in a panic, my answer was, Mama T, I'll fix this. And I had no idea what I was biting off, but it's grown into an amazingly beautiful nonprofit organization, and we've been incredibly, you know, supported by families, by parents, by communities, partnerships. That's really made this what we're able to do today.
What were your challenges? Because it doesn't happen without, you know, pushing through some of those barriers.
Yeah, I was pretty dedicated, knowing the difference that camp does make and the things that we're able to provide. But the barriers were simply, this was not my wheelhouse. This was nothing that I was even familiar with. So a lot of self-education, self-grant writing experience, finding partnerships, finding those donors that'll donate each year to make it happen every year. Sustainability is a big thing for small grassroots nonprofits.
What do you see with the dynamic nowadays, where we're there's a lot more information about diabetes type 1 and type 2, how to avoid it, but also the rising numbers of people who are being diagnosed with serious forms of diabetes?
Yes. So type 1 is an autoimmune disorder where your pancreas just simply doesn't produce insulin anymore. It's no fault of anyone's health habits, diet, exercise. Type 1 just, it chooses its victims. Mm. Type 2, a little bit different. It can be managed by exercise and diet and, you know, oral medications. But type 1 is, you know, you got it and you're taking insulin for the rest of your life.
76,800 or so adults in Montana, that's about just under 9% of the adult population, have been diagnosed with diabetes. What are those numbers for kids? 9%?
There is absolutely no program for us to find those numbers for youth. The numbers that we're able to provide as well are national numbers.
Yeah.
But the increase in adult diagnosis for type 1 is increasing in the last 5 years, to where the percentage is higher in anybody over the age of 20, 25 than it was typically called juvenile diabetes. So that has been kind of an interesting statistic in the last 5 years.
Tanya Furman is with us here. She's the executive director of the Montana Youth Diabetes Alliance. It is mydiabetesalliance.org for more information. We'll be talking with a couple of former campers and now counselors as well, kids and now young adults who have lived their lives, a good portion of their lives, with type 1 diabetes. We'll talk about those challenges here as well. So we're trying to raise awareness, I think you're looking at, if I'm not mistaken, we were chatting, you've got a pretty high demand for this camp, and you're looking maybe to expand it. Talk about how that has come about.
We have our pies in the sky ideas.
Sure.
The biggest challenge we have for that is medical staff. So we need diabetes. I mean, you don't even have to be diabetes educated. We can educate you. But RNs, LPNs, MDs, any retired doctors out there that want to learn about diabetes and want to be around an amazing mentor of kids, the medical staff is the biggest challenge.
Yeah, what are you required to have there for a medical staff? Or what are you comfortable with?
So lead medical staff includes MD, DOs, diabetes educators, those who are truly kind of familiar with type 1, our support medical staff, nurses, you know, of any department, again, will train. It takes a plethora of medical and non-medical.
Yeah, and that's why I know there's a large expense here. You do have costs associated with this for the campers, but there's camperships or scholarships, camperships as you call them, different tiered pricing here. Also, as you said, it's not just this camp. We'll focus on the camping experience as well, and how it has been important for people. But you also noted, the rise in diabetes in many areas, and how you are also trying to provide some other services there too. I mean that's,
yes,
this is direct out of pocket experiences, because what did I read? Anywhere for about, you know, maybe it's $12,000 a year, up to $12,000 a year on out of pocket expenses for every
day.
Yeah.
Yeah, insulin is the, I believe, fourth or fifth most expensive medication in the United States or the world. I'm not sure on that statistic, but it is top five. And it was discovered and created 102 years ago, has not changed one molecule, and has increased 800% in price.
Yeah, yeah. How and so there is a whole nother issue, right, that needs to be looked at and resolved in some ways, because insulin is so vital, and there's that unpacks quite a few things.
Well, and that's, it's one of the only medications on the planet that we can't live without, or even a half, you know, taking a half a pill or taking half the dose. It's not an option.
Talk about how that has impacted you then, Tanya, as a kid and then as an adult.
Many a times I have been without insulin and no real resources to find that. And that comes with the high out-of-pocket costs. You know, if I could afford $5,000 deductible, then I'd be able to afford my insulin. But getting there is tough. And with this program, we don't require any financial information. It's simply a request of reimbursement for up to $500 per kid.
Yeah. Talk more about the program then as well. Where do you get that funding? I know a lot of it comes from the generosity of people we're talking to now, you know, or listening now.
Absolutely. So we have no state or federal funding. We are all partnerships, private donations, and community foundations.
I find that remarkable. But I also find that encouraging, right? Because there are people who are really behind what you're doing here. What does the rest of the public need to know just about this little youth movement that is, you know, you started just a couple of years ago walking it out, and it's got solid footing now. What else does the public need to know about Montana Youth Diabetes?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, for a lot of foundations out there, and I just spent an hour or two researching it just this morning, is, you know, they're wanting to go into philanthropy and, you know, getting people out into the workforce and things like that. There isn't a lot of foundations out there that support health and medical. And I understand it's a pretty broad thing, but being a grassroots nonprofit and, you know, being all about the Montana population and finding these folks, there's so many different avenues we take to make sure, again, like you spoke about awareness, but with awareness comes, you know, more need for assistance, which increases our funding need. So, you know, just if we've asked parents, you know, reach out to your employers, reach out to your communities and just see what's out there and let people know who we are and how we're able to help everybody in their local community.
Yeah. And I appreciate that. I appreciate just you put your head down. Let's work on this and kept walking it out. So I've got to ask this question, and we're going to talk with Sydney and Robert here shortly, campers and now camp counselors. What is that camp experience like? You know, give us day one or whatever, you know, the week leading up to it. But what's the experience like day one for campers, day two? What do you go through? Why do they like it so much?
Well, for one, I have a high rate of return campers. So we do bus 56 different kids from Billings with stops in Bozeman, Helena, and Missoula. We currently host camp at Flyhead Lutheran Bible Camp, and camp starts Monday. So, you know, we're aware that a lot of parents don't have the time or money to bring their kids from Billings, so we bus them. And those kids, some of those kids get to start camp a little bit earlier, but when they do show up, we do our check-in process, and it's game on right then and there. We start swim tests so that they're able to swim all week long in the beautiful little cove there, FLBC. There's high ropes course. There's overnight backpacking. We have talent shows every night, campfire every night, nutritional education, diabetes education. We want these kids to not only know that they're in a safe place and they're around people that also know what they're going through, but we want to send them off with more information than what they came with. And we have a lot of talks about, you know, going to college and what that looks like and employment and your rights and taking care of yourself when your parents are no longer calling in your medications. And we have, and their favorite, their most favorite part is the dance, which is the very last night.
Yes, and admit it, that's one of your favorite parts too, isn't it?
It is.
It's one of those things that's on our plate, and we got to get a little bit more focused about it too. The rising diagnoses of type 2 diabetes, that's something lifestyle can change. Type 1's different, as you heard Tanya Furman talk about. She's executive director of the Montana Youth Diabetes Alliance and joining us here today. As you talk about the diabetes problem with our youth, about 1 in 400 children and adolescents have type 1 diabetes. And again, it's kind of hard to really pinpoint these. We talked about there's a financial strain. There's rural challenges in Montana. There is an awareness gap as well for a lot of people when it comes to the full extent of diabetes and living with diabetes. And then of course, MIDA, the Montana Youth Diabetes Alliance, focuses on those goals. Tanya, thanks again for being here and for the work you're doing there too, because it's made a difference for folks like Sydney Bennett and Robert Stimson. Sydney, good morning. Former camper, now counselor, right now law student, University of Montana. How's it going, Sydney?
Going good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks you for being on here. From Billings, Montana, was that right? Did I catch that?
Yes.
Okay. And Robert, you're from Helena. Robert Stimson, former camper, now counselor as well. You're going to school at the University of Chicago. Good morning, young man. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's a snowy morning in Chicago, so it's reminding me of Montana, of home.
Oh, that's great. Have you felt the humidity and the cold from the lake that people always talk about moving into Chicago?
You know, people always talk about it, but I got here and I said, it's not quite as cold or snowy as it is at home.
Yeah, that's so, right. Yeah, you know, yeah.
Nothing measures up to Montana.
Yeah, thank you very much. It never needs to be said, but it's always good to hear. Nothing can measure up. Thank you. Let's talk about your experiences here as well, Sydney and Tanya, with us to just lean in, okay? Let's feel free to ask some questions here. Sydney, what do you remember from your camp? I mean, tell me why camp was important to you. You were the one who said to me earlier that, how valuable it was for you growing up, and you want, and I'm sure, Robert, you're the same way. You really want kids nowadays to have that same experience.
Yeah, absolutely. It was such a huge, vital part of my childhood. I was diagnosed when I was 10, was the only kid I knew in school. I didn't have anyone else in my family who was type 1. It was an incredibly lonely and isolating experience. And so camp was the first time that I met anyone else like me. Wow. And I will never forget being 10, finding this whole group of other little girls who were going through the exact same thing that I was going through and could just relate to them and forget about it for a week and get to be a kid alongside other kids who felt the exact same way. It was huge.
Wow. That's great. And I think people, if they're vicarious at all, can understand that a 10-year-old, with this, what for you it had to be, a burden and oh my gosh, not even understanding it. How did that help you understand it? As you look back on that experience, how do you enhance that for somebody who's going to be going through that experience at your next camp?
You know, I think the education piece of it is super vital. And the way that camp does it, I think, is genius. Because, kids don't want to necessarily feel like they're in school when it's summer break.
Right.
But learn about diabetes from people who are educated in it, who are medical professionals, who live it themselves, those of us who are adults now that have had it for a very long time. It's super important to get to learn from these people, how to be independent, all the information that you need to know, because type 1 doesn't go away. It's something that we have with us and have to deal with for the rest of our lives. And so being able to get these kids the knowledge and education that they need are going to guarantee that they live long, healthy, happy lives.
Robert, talk about your experience. You've lived with type 1 cancer for 17 years.
Yeah, so I my experience in a lot of ways is similar to Sydney's, but in some ways is different. I got diagnosed when I was 3 years old, so I don't really remember life without it. Mm-hmm. So it's very normal for me, but I had just, growing up having type 1, always sort of known that I was different and sort of thought of things like summer camp and those experiences with other kids and you know, getting away from your family for a week. And that just wasn't really for me. Like, it wasn't something that was an option for me. And so then when I learned about camp and started coming to camp when I was 8 years old, it was just like a huge eye opener of the, like, you know, you're not different from other people. You can do anything they can do. Like, nice. I can go to summer camp, you know, I can have the overnight backpacking and the swimming in the pond and the, you know, playing on the courts and stuff. And I just, all of that was so, you know, freeing and like very sort of mentally like enriching.
Yeah. I appreciate
how
that.
You guys,
go ahead.
How do you guys feel, or how does being a counselor feel different from being a camper?
That was Tanya Furman, by the way.
It's harder for sure. I mean, being a counselor now, I look at those campers and I'm just like, you have no idea how much work is going into making this just a completely stress-free and amazing week for you. But it's so fulfilling in a different way than being a camper, you know, being able to help create this experience that, you know, these kids otherwise would not be able to have is super, it strikes me at heart. It feels really fulfilling.
Yes. Same question for you, Sydney. Yeah. Why do you do it?
Yeah, exactly the same reason. I mean, I've said before and I'll say forever that I owe a huge debt to being able to go to camp as a kid and everything that Tanya has done. And so it feels like, of course, I, you know, would want to pay this back, but it's incredibly fulfilling. It's my favorite week of the year to get to see these kids, you know, get to be kids when they don't get to be kids the rest of the year, to take that weight off of the parents' shoulders when they drop their kids off, and how rested they look when they pick them up, how much this means to these kids. I hear it all week, how fun, how important. It fills my cup for the rest of the year.
Oh, that's good to hear. Go ahead.
Just being Tanya, I have to say that the kids they are my mentor. I think as an adult, we put to the wayside our diabetes for, you know, adult life, work, family, kids, all of that. And we kind of forget, we get in routines, whether they're healthy or not, in our adult lives. And these kids remind us that we can always do better, because I mean, that's what they're striving to do, because they have their youth and diabetes to worry about and nothing else. But as an adult, we have a lot more on our plates, and I think they give me a huge eye opener, and every year remind me that I can always take better care of myself too.
Yeah, I like that. You know, sometimes it's, you don't get to be kids, right? But I'm looking at, it's mydiabetesalliance.org, and I'm looking at the website right now, and there are videos of campers and events and things like that. There is so much laughing and smiling and a lot of activity with this as well. I got less than a minute, but I'll ask you, Robert, just that experience, was it just an explosion of fun when these kids get here, and then you just use that to teach into them, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's really, I mean, they get to camp and, you know, they're so excited to be, you know, away from their parents for a week, and they're having a great time. And we can really use that excitement and help them kind of, you know, connect with the other campers and teach them about their diabetes. And it's a very valuable learning experience, exactly because of that fun that they're having.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, it's pretty fun for us too.
I bet it is. Yeah. That's the fun is very catchy. You know, I like things that are in place. Let the kids be kids, you know, let the adults be kids with the kids from time to time. That's what happens at camp. But it's any other time of the year, it can be difficult to deal with diabetes, type 1 diabetes, and now type 2 diabetes as well, more lifestyle stuff. And welcome back here from Montana for Montana's Voices of Montana. We're talking about that today and an organization that helps kids live through and live with diabetes. And a lot is accomplished throughout the year, but that camping experience is a huge thing. And we are focusing on that now. Tanya Furman is with us from the Montana Youth Diabetes Alliance. That's a new organization. How old now, Tanya?
We were established in 2019 and had our first camp 2022.
Yeah.
Three.
You guys got right after it. So thanks for that. We'll talk about the sponsorships and volunteers that have been a part of that as well. So thank you for that. And then Sydney Bennett and Robert Stimson, they have been a part of these diabetes camps, and now they're camp counselors. Sydney is from Billings and right now a law student, second year at the University of Montana. Are you a Go Grizz person, Sydney? Can you say it?
Oh, yeah, Go Grizz.
Yeah, thank you very much. Sorry, I think I scared Cody a little bit with that. And Robert Stimson, University of Chicago now, but comes out of Helena, Montana, former camper and counselor. So, I don't know, Robert, where do your sports loyalties belong here in Montana?
Well, you know, my brother just started going to the U of M, so I'm going to have to go Grizz as well.
There you go. Thank you very much. hey, again, thanks for being here. And Tanya, feel free to weigh in. But one of the things that we'd kind of talked about off air is, you know, pick out some favorite memories, whether they're experiences that you now recall as a counselor that you think, man, you were glad to be a part of in helping, you know, somebody younger than you get through, or just whatever comes to mind. Maybe it was just somebody who has left an impression that you're still communicating with. So go ahead, Sydney Bennett. Just tell us a story, a real story from somebody about at camp.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to pick just one. I feel like I have new stories every year, but from just this last year, the group that I tend to find myself amongst are the middle girls, which are middle school girls, those very, very angsty types. And so sometimes it's hard to get their shells cracked and to get them to kind of get involved and shed the awkwardness of being in middle school. But the way that tends to work and what happened this last year to get them involved is get them to relate to each other by complaining. It's very funny to watch a group of them just... You know, diabetes is such unique life experiences that no one else really understands unless you deal with it. And so getting them riled up and, you know, marching around in the woods and complaining and then giggling by the end of it is one of my favorite things to watch.
I can see that unfold. That's pretty cool. Yeah. Robert, what story pops to your mind? Probably a couple, too. But tell us something.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just this past year as well, something that was coming to my mind was we had one of our boys who I think his dad or his brother had a mustache. And so, like, the first day of camp, he drew a mustache on a piece of tape and he put it on his lip. And then all the other boys decided that having a mustache meant you were old. And so they started calling him Grandpa. And then... It caught on. And so by the end of like day two, like, you know, three quarters of my boys had a tape drawn mustache on their upper lip and were going by Gramps or Grandpa. And it really caught on among the younger boys this year. So it's just kind of the, you know, kids being kids, having fun, having a good time.
I love that. Do you see the weight lift off? I mean, when they talk to you about some of those things, and Robert, I'll have you finish up, and then Sydney, you can follow up on that as well. What kind of weight are on these kids that you're talking with?
Oh, yeah. I mean, diabetes is a really difficult thing to live with, and I'm mostly a counselor with the younger kids, with like the 8 to 11 year olds. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they're happy kids, they're having a good time, but diabetes is difficult, and they can, you know, we definitely get, you know, breakdowns sometimes, and people that have, you know, clearly had a bad time. But the thing about camp that's really great is there's just so much support there for them. I mean, your average summer camp is going to have, you know, a couple of nurses and med people for all, you know, 100 campers. We have roughly a med person for every 3 to 5 campers.
Yeah.
So we just have an incredible amount of support for them, and it makes everything a lot easier. You know, it makes their management, and they don't have to be thinking about it all the time or having, you know, their mom or dad thinking about it all the time. And parents are, doing their best to support their kids, but the kids sometimes don't want to be, you know, told what to do. Yeah. And so when it's another adult who's there to have fun with them and support them and also help them with their diabetes, they just, it's a lot more pleasant for them, I think. Yeah. Or at least it's a pleasant interlude for a week.
Yeah.
And to be honest, Tom, statistically, type 1 diabetics make over 180 more decisions a day. And the scary part about that is they're taking a medication multiple times a day that would kill the average person. Mm. So that's always a big thought on my mind is these kids are injecting themselves with medication that would kill you. God. So it's pretty amazing.
It is. I can't imagine that responsibility. Tanya, go ahead. I'll ask the question you were going to ask because I wrote it down here. I think it's a great question. What camp tradition stands out? Sydney, if you want to talk a little bit about seeing that weight lift off of a camper, I'm here to have fun. But also go into one of your favorite camp traditions.
Yeah, I can talk to both a little bit. I think they kind of blend into each other nicely. Mm-hmm. With having primarily these middle school girls, you know, nowadays especially, so much of our diabetes management comes in the form of physical technology that we have to actually carry around at all times. A lot of times it's on the phone, sometimes it's on insulin pumps, and so just that there is a physical weight that we do have to carry around with us that when these kids get to camp, I'm able to take that from them, and they get to run around without a couple extra pounds and all these attachments on them. It's a very actual physical weight that gets lifted from them. And with that, my favorite camp tradition is the dance at the end of the week. And by then, it's the last night. They've gotten used to it. They're very free at that point. There's no more anxiety, truly, about having these devices separated from them. So just getting to watch from the sidelines, these kids just truly be kids and dance uninhibited without being weighed down by, you know, physical and metaphorical weights is really amazing.
Ah, I like that. Robert, top that.
I mean, you know, I don't know if I can top it, but I can certainly say roughly the same thing, which is the dance is just the best. It's the highlight of the week and kind of the highlight of my summer, you know. I think one thing that's really cool that's a tradition that we do at the dance is we, you know, dancing can be tougher for some people than for others. People get a little self-conscious. So in order to kind of make that easier, the whole day before the dance, we teach kids some like line dances, you know, some so that they have something to pull out and they don't have to be, you know, self-conscious about it because everyone's mm-hmm. doing it. Mm-hmm. And everyone learned it just that day, so no one's perfect at it. But my favorite one is we always, and this is really a MIDA tradition. This started at that first MIDA camp in 2022, I think it was. We always do the church clap, which is a particular line dance. It's very energetic and very high energy. We always get a few low blood sugars after the church clap. Mm-hmm. But I always have a lot of fun with that and a lot of fun. You know, my boys are 8 to 11 years old. They're not exactly prime, you know, forget all your cares and dance crowd. So I like trying to, you know, hype them up and get them to dance. And I think the church clap is high energy enough that they can really get into it, you know.
That's
and
cool.
And the kids actually changed. We, of course, you have to play YMCA at camp every year. And the whole camp, instead of singing YMCA, will say MYDA. So that's always pretty fun, too. And I have to chime in on the favorite tradition. We do have a night where we do a glow walk, where all of our, every single person at camp gets a glow bracelet, and we walk about a quarter mile up the road, so you can look all the way ahead of you and look all the way behind you and just see this whole row of glow bracelets, and it just shows you the support that's in front of you, the support that's behind you. We go out to a big field, and we create a huge round circle, and everybody shuts their bracelets off. And as a group, because it's dark and you can't necessarily see the person next to you, we ask questions like, if you've ever been bullied in school, turn your bracelet on. And you can see the bracelets start coming on, and it always kind of gives you a tear in the eye because they're making themselves vulnerable. And it's just, it's an amazing thing to have these kids be able to look at 250 people with these bracelets that just admitted to something that you may have, you know, experienced as well. And, you know, just ask them different questions in regards to their life with type 1 while they're at home. And I think it just brings a really amazing moment together of being able to visually see that in the dark.
Well, thank you for that. And I think Sydney and Robert, you guys are amazing. You know, thanks for sharing those experiences with us here as well. But you know what you're doing, and Sydney, you know, a second year law student, University of Montana. I know a little bit about that. There's a little bit of work involved in that. So thank you for still contending and advocating, and I know you're doing it for the right reasons, and it's also healing for you. I appreciate that. Robert as well, first year student at University of Chicago from Helena, Montana. Thank you, sir, for same thing, right? You guys are, that's impactful. You're touching lives. These kids will never forget. They might forget your name, but they won't forget your silly dad joke or whatever it was, you know. You're just making lifelong impressions. Good stuff. Thank you. Any final thoughts?
No matter how far away I go, I'll always come back for MITA camp.
Thanks, Robert.
That's great. Sydney? Good luck to you. I mean, when you get out of law school, you know Tanya's going to hit you up for some free law advice.
Oh, yeah. She knows. It's allowed to. Anytime, any place, you can call.
That is so good. I might do the same. I got your number now. Hey, thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Tanya, thank you so much again for being here. Tanya Furman, Executive Director, Montana Youth Diabetes Alliance. Let's talk about Town Pump's a big one here as well, and I want to give them a shout-out. Grizzly Gold and Silver, talked with Scott Bollinger not that long ago. There are people who have come alongside you, and I want to thank them. Who are they?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, like you said, Grizzly Gold and Silver. Also, all of our Montana statewide Moose Lodges, Dennis Phillips Washington Foundation, Whitefish Community Foundation, our Lions Clubs. We have a grant through New Venture Fund, also Montana Search and Assist out of Bozeman. So a lot of different partnerships throughout the state of Montana, Billings Clinic, Intermountain Health. I'll help make it happen.
Yes. And Town Pump right now, win a $1,000 Town Pump gas card. So that's pretty cool. And I just wanted to appreciate all those people who get involved in that regard. What about volunteers?
Oh, gosh. Medical volunteers, all the endocrinologists, diabetes educators throughout the state. Again, Billings Clinic, Intermountain Health, Logan Health.
But you need the call. The call out there for volunteerism still, right?
Oh, yes.
I got 30 seconds. Make a pitch.
Medical volunteers, RNs, diabetes educators, MDs, DOs, we'll teach you diabetes.
Yes, and you'll feel like a kid again, which ain't a bad thing. Tanya, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate you.
Yep. Good luck. We'll be talking more about it to mydiabetesalliance.org for more information. Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.